Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise his holy name. I feel like I should get into a teaching mode today. So I might do some lot of chapter and verse. Close your eyes first. Stretch your hands out towards me. Pray in the spirit. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for divine utterance in the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord God, for your mighty anointing. Thank you, Lord, that it's your anointing that removes power, removes burdens and destroys yokes and brings the power of heaven onto earth. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for wisdom, guidance and counsel. Lord God, your word says that out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water, that your words are spirit and life. Father, that you've given us words of life in our mouths. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the results of this year of wow, this year of glory, Lord God, this year of just unexpected blessings. We thank you for it. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm still getting over last week, young Daniel doing his Michael Jackson thing. Wasn't that amazing? Oh my goodness me. I just thought to myself, I was in prayer after that. I was sitting in the presence of the Lord and I was just thanking God for what has been our year of glory so far. And I just thought, my goodness, you know, Deborah Jegaday was on like probably either the front row or the second row watching Daniel. And I thought, wow, here's a girl who devised a poem that became the closing poem for the Olympics and that was watched by 21 million people. I mean, my goodness me, Lord Jesus, what more? I thought you'd clap for the Lord a bit more than that. That the God that we serve can just pop things like that, you know? God said to me way back in the early 90s when he first called me into ministry, into church planting, he said, you know, he said, don't worry about the future. He said, I'll give you fireworks. Yeah. You know what fireworks are? You know, they go up in a dark place and they go bang and everyone goes, woo. And that's what it felt like. Last week, watching Deborah doing her closing poem for the Olympics, it was like, woo. It was like fireworks. May God give you fireworks in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus, that's about four of you. I said, in Jesus' mighty name. Yeah, everybody needs a firework or two. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And this year of glory, you'll get it in Jesus' name. I said you'll get it in the name of Jesus. You'll get it in Jesus' mighty name. As I was praying this morning, the Lord spoke to me about three areas that we need to develop in our lives. Three areas for development. So I hope you're ready for this. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 32. The first area that the Lord told me that we need to develop is the area of our faith. Number one, you need to develop your faith. God said something very interesting through Jesus to Peter. Do you remember when it was the Last Supper and Peter said, I'll never deny you, I'll never deny you, I'll never deny you, etc. And Jesus said to him, look, let's take a reality check here for a second. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. And he says, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Not that you may not fail, but that your faith may not fail. And when I sought out the Lord on that particular piece of scripture, I thought, wow, you know what? You know why God put it that way? Is because, you know, if your faith won't fail, then you won't fail. If your faith won't fail, you can't fail. If your faith won't fail, you cannot fail. You are unfailable. You may be flappable, but you are unfailable. In Jesus' mighty name. Is there such a word as unfailable? Okay, sorry. No, unfailable. There's a new word. You can tell everybody that your pastor who's got a degree in English, exactly what kind of degree, I don't know. I'll get some honorary one off the internet. And what is it? The National University of Maidugri. I'll get one from there. Praise God. I'll get an honorary doctorate. And then I'll tell you that we've invented a new word. You are unfailable. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, if your faith cannot fail, you are unfailable. You shall not fail. You shall prevail. Hallelujah. And then I thought of the process of faith. You see, it's all very well saying something like that, but supposing you're a beginner to the world of faith, supposing, you know, you didn't even know God was real until you came into this building. It's like, Lord Jesus, well, where do I start, right? The Bible says that the spirit of faith begins by believing and speaking. It begins by seeing something that you can't yet see in the natural. That's what the Bible calls hope, and hope is the main constituent part of faith because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So the hope produces the vision, and then God generates the faith on the inside of you by speaking his word, and suddenly change can start to begin. So we believe in our heart. We confess with our mouths. We see with our eyes what we cannot see, not with these natural eyes. Jesus said, he said, look, everybody who has an ear, let him hear. And then he said, this is a stubborn generation. He says, although seeing, they do not see. Hearing, they do not hear. Listening to the same word, they do not understand. Lest they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn to me, and I would save them. Do you see what I mean? So everybody that Jesus spoke to had two eyes. Everybody, when Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear, everyone had two ears. So it's not the natural eyes that do the job. It's not the natural ears that do the job. In fact, it's not the natural heart that, you know, we call it the heart, but the heart is just like a muscle. That's not, how can you believe God with what can be replaced now with a pig heart? Is that right, doctors? You can put a pig heart in a person. My mum had a pig valve in her heart. She had an operation at the age of 70-something, and they stuck a pig's valve in her heart. Hey! What would they call that in West Africa? Maybe what we are saying. What? Just that. Like, what is this? It's like, it's even a weird thing to comprehend. So that couldn't be. Could you imagine my mum then believing God and she's half man, half pig in her heart? Do you understand? You can't do it, can you? So it's not the natural heart. It's the very core. It's the very seat of the person. It's where we are. It's where we really are. And I heard the Lord say this morning. He said, you really know when you've got faith for something, don't you? I said, yes. He said, well, everybody does. They can lie to themselves or they can be truthful to themselves, but in their heart of hearts, they know. Because the Bible says that faith is of the heart. It says, with the heart, man believes. So there's the cut and thrust, if you like, of believing is done with the heart. It's done with the real you. It's done with the core you, the one who really knows the score right on the inside of you. And you know whether you've got it. I know when I've got faith for something. I absolutely know. I know, you know, there's another thing that God can create on the inside of us is the ability to see his presence, to see the move of his spirit. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. So there's an ability to see when the presence of God is on a person. Is that a natural ability? No. Otherwise, everybody would have it. You remember Prophet Bismarck? I spoke to Prophet Bismarck about this, about, like, the guy is, like, exemplary on names and numbers. I mean, if you ever need a safe cracker, if your stuff is ever locked in your safe and you haven't got the key, call Bismarck. The dude will open it for you, no doubt at all. I was buying him a shirt one day, and I stuck my card in the pin pad thing, and I covered my hand over with my thumb like that, and he just looked at me as if to say, you fool, what are you doing? He said, I know your pin number. I didn't question him because he'd already got my phone number. You know, like, what can you do in such an atmosphere, you know? But like, where does that come from? Is that with the natural eye that he sees numbers coming out of people and he sees their name on top of their head? He says, sometimes I see their name written on their head. He says, sometimes I can see, you remember Prophet Nana? He said, sometimes I know when a person's pregnant, sometimes even before they do. He said, I can look at the face, I see two hearts beating. Aye. What's that? That's a supernatural world, right? There's sometimes I've seen the presence of God on people. You've heard my testimony about the president of Ghana when I went to pray for him. And I saw the angel of the Lord standing one side of him. So I went and stood there where the angel was. And then I just laid hands on him. And he said, hey, I felt the power of God flowing through this white man. What is this? And there was other people there, you know, all colors and stuff like that. But it's that's supernatural. And we're made for that realm. And the contact point between the natural and the supernatural is the realm of faith. Faith is the arm that reaches out into the invisible world and grabs something that becomes material on its way in. So we give birth. You remember Dr. Yonggi Cho, the great man of God from Korea. And he used to say, you know, that he was pregnant with things. And what he meant was, is he's caught a vision for these things. The Bible says, no good thing shall he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So he was flat broke when he got saved. He was dying of tuberculosis, a tremendous testimony. God raised him up off the sickbed by a woman coming in and laying hands on him. And he said, wow, what is this power that's available? God taught him how to exercise his faith and how to put his faith to work the way that a mechanic would put a wrench to work. And he used to impregnate himself with what he needed. He said, Lord, I need a bicycle. God said, what color bicycle? What size bicycle? What type bicycle? I don't want an Indian one. I want an American one. I want a you know, black frame and a basket in the front and all that kind of thing to carry Bibles and go preach the word and stuff like that. And it wasn't weeks. And he used to go and tell people that he was pregnant with a bicycle. Because the same, if you like, process of impregnation with the word of God produced that thing. It was so real to him. He could see that bicycle more in the unseen realm than he could in the seen realm. And you know, sometimes in the unseen realm, things are better. We wait until we get into the seen realm to enjoy ourselves. Or then, like for instance with me, one of the things God told me first when I bought a brand new car, it's like me buying a new car. Like that was unheard of in my mind. When I first got saved, I didn't have the bus fare to get out of town. Do you understand? And God's saying, he's saying, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll cause your feet to ride upon the high places of the earth. And I read the Bible that said that Jesus rode on a donkey that nobody had ridden before. And I thought, wow, that means I can have a car that nobody drove before. Because the donkey was the Benz of the day. You understand? I don't like Benz, otherwise I'd drive one. But so believing God for a new car became a faith project for me. So suddenly, 2002, first ever new car, I got 0 miles on the clock. In fact, it had half a mile on the clock because they'd driven it to the garage to fill it up because you get a full tank when you buy a new car. Make sure you get your full tank when your new car comes, in Jesus' name. So then I'm sitting in this car that nobody's driven. I said, wow, God, you're awesome. And you know what God said to me? Start believing for the next one now. Because, you see, the Bible says that the things which are seen are temporal. In other words, they are subject to the laws of decay. The things which are unseen are eternal. But the moment they enter the seen realm, they are subject to decay. Right? So God said, don't start believing me for a new one when this one gets old. Start now. Start the process all over again, but believe me for better. So that's what I did. So I got another new car in 5 years' time. I do a lot of miles. I do about 120,000 I do 20,000 miles a year, 25,000 miles a year, just out and about, ministering, visiting, God knows what, children. How many of you are your children's taxi cab? And the only one, other ones of you that are parents, either that your children aren't old enough for you to be their taxi yet, or they can drive themselves. Am I right? There's something about children's lives, this generation, that is unheard of in my generation. Where are you going? That's what my dad and mum would say. Can you give me a lift? Where are you going? I didn't even have a car. We used to ride the bus. Anyone been there on the 41 bus? Shush. And so that there's that process of believing now for something that you do not yet see, right? Those of you that are believing God for children, you're married now, you believe in God for children. Well, don't start waiting to save up. How many of you know children are expensive? Start saving up now for your children so you've got a great legacy to give them. Some of you believe in God to get married with your broke self. And do you understand? It's like, oh, yeah, I'm believing God for a wife. Well, where's your marriage bank account? Women, they cost money, you. Come on, Alex, preach. I need to... He's stunned to silence. They cost money. So why wait? You see, what's that? That's an act of faith. Do you understand? It's an act of faith. Put your faith to work in something. It's your faith that makes you unfailable. It's your faith that when, you see, we think the devil is attacking us, right? Symptoms of flu come on us or cold or whatever the wind is dragging around, right? And we think that the devil is attacking us, but he's not. He's attacking our faith. Right. It's an attack, it's an affront against your faith, right? But the Bible calls faith the shield of faith. So there's something that we can fight with. We can block those arrows of the devil. When you get symptoms trying to come up in your body, the devil, man, I can't even talk about the loser. Let's carry on to the next one. That's your faith. Develop your faith in the name of Jesus. He said, faith begins. This is what the Lord said. Faith begins when you attach your life to what God has said. Isn't that good? Faith begins when you attach your life to what God has said. That's when the results begin. Now, there's a story, a very sad story. How many of you have heard of Bomber the Bald Eagle? Not Eddie the Eagle. Bomber the Bald Eagle. You've never heard of Bomber? This is one of the saddest stories. If you love animals, you need to get your tissues out now and the violins and everything like that. Bomber was a very famous bald eagle that in the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, they had actually trained this eagle. It was bred in captivity, and they gave it a handler because it had forgotten how to fly. And so they wanted this eagle to do a circle of the Los Angeles Olympic Dome in the opening ceremony. And this, you know, the bald eagle, how many of you know that that's the symbol of America? The bald eagle, it's on everything American, you know, the great American eagle. And this great symbol of American freedom and blah, blah, blah. Well, the trouble was, you see, it had been raised in captivity. And so they got this trainer 6 weeks before the opening ceremony of the Olympics. They got this trainer to come and do this big swoop of the Olympic Dome. And they, you know, it got a few steps around and then came back. And then they gave it some more training, and it got further, and eventually it managed to be able to fly one circuit around the Olympic Dome and then come to rest back on its perch. So the day before the opening ceremony, this is a true story, Bomber the Eagle, the Olympics were due to open, and poor old Bomber gave up. He collapsed and died. You can almost hear the violins now, can't you? My Lord, have mercy. This symbol of American ability, American freedom, American dominance. You know, every nation that has dominated another nation, even from back in the days of Egypt, when Egypt was the eagle nation of the world, they had the eagle on all their symbols. And then the Nebuchadnezzar and the armies of that region of Babylon, they had the eagle as the symbol. And then the Nazis captured the eagle as the symbol. And now, you know, America carries the eagle symbol. And there's this eagle that's dropped dead. Cardiovascular disease. They fed it the wrong food. Junk food. It contracted salmonella. It contracted cardiovascular disease and it dropped dead. Why? Because it hadn't been raised in its natural environment. It couldn't do what it was created to do. And as I was praying this morning, I felt in my spirit that that's the same with a lot of you. You've been created to do something, but you've been raised in the wrong environment. Circumstances have spoken to you, from the day you were born. You may have not had, you know, like the proper parental love. You may not have had the proper nurture and upbringing. You may have been raised in poverty. There may have been all kinds of things that you need to shake off that before you can actually rise and soar like the eagle. To those who wait upon the Lord, the Bible says, they shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not grow weary. They shall run and not be faint. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't end up like Bomber. You see, the environment that you were created to thrive in is the environment of faith. It's the environment of God's presence. There's something that happens in the presence of God. There's an ability sometimes. I was telling the guys last week in cell that I was in prayer and just the glory and the presence of God that was overshadowing me. And I just felt right then in that moment that I could just achieve anything. Where does that come from? It comes from the presence of the Lord. To those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. They shall rise up with the wings like an eagle. Not Bomber the eagle, but like proper wings, like a proper eagle. So you have to change the environment you live in. You can't get from the natural realm what God has called you to succeed in. You can't get it. Because the Bible says that by faith, the men of old obtained a testimony. So the realm to thrive in, the realm to really grow in, isn't the natural realm. It's the spiritual realm. It's the supernatural realm. It's the unseen realm. Actually, the moment we give our lives to Jesus, you and I were made for that realm. You can't get it. Natural science can't produce it. Man's wisdom can't produce it. They can go so far, but no further. There are boundaries to the natural realm, but the supernatural realm is limitless. May every Bomber the eagle symptom over your life come off in the name of Jesus. May every single one of them be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you were created for greater things. Bible says this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So everything that the world puts on you, the wrong food, the wrong lifestyle, poverty, getting off the ground floor. I mean, my goodness me. You know, any of you feel that you were born in the basement? You were born in the basement of life. Dude, I've been there. I know what it's like. Thank God, in the presence of God, a vision started to develop on the inside of me. I can conquer the world because my faith is the faith that is causing the victory to come about in my life. And it's not a something that you can do half-hearted. Do you ever try and sit, if you're in a harbor or something like that, and there's two boats side by side, even little rowing boats or canoes, and you put one foot in one boat and you put the other foot in the other boat, and how far you go. You go 180, you split your trousers. I can't go any further, man. These are nice trousers. You understand? But you get the picture. You split your difference. That's what they used to call it. Oh, a split me difference. Do you remember that, Pete? That's an old Bruce Forsyth joke way back in the day. Good game, good game. Praise God. Psalm 32, verse 6 says this. It says, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to thee. In a time when thou mayest be found, surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not reach him. In other words, it's too late. If you're praying to God when your house is already flooded, it's too late. If you've developed your faith, you understand, you start, oh God, I must develop the faith to rebuke the storms and rebuke the wind. And so you stand up on your house. I rebuke the storm. I rebuke the wind in Jesus' name. And then the flood comes and takes your house away. What are people going to think? Dumbski. Why? Because you didn't develop your faith in the little things. Surely, he says, in a flood of great waters, you won't find God. You've got to stretch your faith now. Who knows what's coming? Who could have imagined 6 weeks ago that the president of Ukraine would have just resigned and left and gone? And a peaceful, I mean, they're a peaceful Christian country, Ukraine. They really are peace-loving, real gentle people. And seeing police snipers sniping, supposing that happened in Britain. Supposing suddenly, you know, the Bible calls it the mystery of lawlessness. That eagle takes off again and starts swimming around looking for a home. The mystery of lawlessness. I saw that thing about 7, 8, 9, 10 days before the riots happened in Britain, I saw it in the spirit. We were praying upstairs in the lounge with the 12. And I told them, something's coming. I don't know what it is. We started confessing Psalm 91. No harm shall come nigh thy dwelling. That's what we had. And we had that thing by the neck, and we are able to break it in Jesus' name by prayer. Thank God we didn't start waiting until then to start developing. Have a, there's a big eagle coming. It's going to land somewhere. It's going to, you know, it's the mystery of lawlessness at work. What are we going to do? The sky's falling in. Instead of bombing the eagle, it would have been chicken licking. I don't know which is worse. I suppose chicken licking lived, did he? Or did the fox come and eat him? I can't remember the story. But thank God we didn't wait. Don't wait until then. Develop your faith now. If you're believing God for a long life, get in the gym now. If you're believing God for prosperity, start living within your means now. Good preaching, Pastor P. Say it again. If you're believing God to go to heaven, work on yourself now. Don't wait until you're standing there at the judgment seat. Lord, we casted out devils in your name. He says, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. Can you imagine? What's that? That's a person who had a great anointing, a great ministry, but no character. And the second thing, this is the second thing that God told me we need to develop. Areas to develop. Three areas to develop. Number one is your faith. Number two is your character. Turn with me to Psalm 18. Psalm number 18. Oh, sorry. Let me say again. Proverbs 18. That's better. Proverbs 18 and verse 16 says this. It says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. When I worked at Lloyds Bank, there was a guy who got promoted. He was a high flyer, and he got promoted to the level I was promoted. But there was a problem, and we didn't know that there was a problem when he got promoted to that level. He'd done well for himself, getting as high as he was. He started in the low ranks, and he rose through the ranks probably 6 years or so of his life that he'd given to the bank. But he was a drink driver. And one of the things we were given to do our job, because we were all work from home, was a company car. And so he did his training, he got his company car, he's got his promotion. You know, back then we were given laptops and mobile phones. This was in 1990, like when a mobile phone was literally like a mobile phone. It was like, you know, one of those old school handsets that you carry around and then you got the battery on your back because it was like so big, you know. But at least the battery lasted. Hey, iPhone users, yeah, praise the Lord. And we didn't know. But he got in the car and about, I don't know, 10 days after being in the job, finished his training, went through everything. And the guy ended up wrecking his car up in Whetstone, turned the thing over. He was instantly dismissed from the bank. His career of like 7-8 years or whatever was gone, literally like a flash. Why? Because, you see, his gift made room for him. But his lack of character meant that there was nothing there to sustain him. So he was like a man on a ladder. You ever see a guy on a ladder and he's like propped it up against a building, but the angle's too bad? You understand? And suddenly the ladder goes out like that. And it's like one of them cartoons, like, you know, Roadrunner. Do you remember Roadrunner, the coyote? And the guy's eyes get wide and you know the end of the story. You know, the guy's going to hit the deck, right? And unfortunately, that's what it's like if we don't develop our character. Why wait for greatness to visit you before you have polished and honed your character? We have to be hard on our character. Really hard. I'm hard on my character. I'm hard on my wife's character. She's hard on my character. But she does it like she buffs me. Sometimes I grind her, but she buffs me. Do you understand what I mean? The way she polishes me is like totally different to the way I polish her. Isn't it, though? It really is. What am I like?
Bit brutal.
Thank God she's well able for it. Strong woman. She's intense. That's what one bishop said to us in America. Wow, she sure is intense. I said, yes, I live with her. You're absolutely right. But you see, your gift makes room for you, but your character will keep you there. And I thought to myself, wow, look at this. Look at this. There's three areas that we're looking at this morning. Three areas to develop. Your faith, your character, and the third one is your anointing. But look at this. Elijah was a great man of faith, right? Okay. And he delivered the nation of Israel supernaturally for a time, but events overtook the nation of Israel, right? You look at Samson, highly anointed man, and he delivered Israel for a time, but events overtook him. But you look at Joseph. Joseph was a man of character. Amen. Now, can you imagine, right, three stadiums in London. West Ham, boo. Tottenham, boo. And the Emirates, ray. Okay. Now, you imagine that Joseph is going to appear in one stadium. Elijah is going to appear in West Ham. And Samson is going to appear at Spurs. Right? In fact, you do need Samson, don't you? You sold Gareth Bale. You're stuffed, mate. Absolutely stuffed. That's the end of your season. I knew it when he signed, before the ink dried on the paper, I knew, yes, Jesus is Lord. One less enemy to fight. Now, which one would we naturally go to? Would you go to see Samson perform amazing supernatural acts? He'd lift 10 trucks off the thing and everyone would, hey, da-na-na. You know, there'd be the heavy metal music and these monster trucks and ba-na-na-na-na-na-na, wow, rockets going off and all kinds of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, Samson, and out comes this skinny little guy, because it wasn't natural muscle that caused him to achieve what he achieved. He was an ordinary looking guy, but he had supernatural strength, right? Would we go and see Samson, or would we go and see Elijah? Come see Elijah. You know, all the big marketing, and like, I'm really into this, you know, I'll get excited for you, don't worry. And then, you know, out comes this guy in a strange goat skin and he's calling down fire, bam! And all of Tottenham's enemies get disappeared to dust. Or West Ham's enemies, sorry, get disappeared to dust. Then, you know, would you naturally gravitate towards Elijah? Or would you go to the Emirates to see Joseph? Exactly. You see, this is the thing. Most people, you'd pay the ticket to go see Elijah. But Joseph was the deliverer. Joseph not only delivered his nation, but he delivered Egypt as well. It's amazing, isn't it? So the deliverer of two nations would have maybe the intellectuals might gravitate towards Joseph because the music's a bit too loud for Samson and Elijah. You understand like that? Right. And so, do you understand what I'm saying? But it's character that we've particularly in Pentecostal circles, virtually, I don't know, so many churches in the US, big ones, they're all built on this fanfare and this hullabaloo and this next show. And, you know, oh, yeah, we put on a great show here. Somebody said that to me once when we went to see a church in Orlando, Florida. You remember that? Oh, it's like this everywhere. It's a great show here. Dude, I should have said to him, what time do curtains go up? I mean, just do you understand what I mean? Because like, but where's the issue of character development? Bible says like iron sharpens iron, so the man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Faithful, the Bible says, are the wounds of a friend. Wow. Somebody who can tell you the truth would have a half-empty auditorium. Somebody who would entertain you and wow, come here, sugar, bam. Your weave goes flying one way, you go flying the other, the oil is... You understand? Sure. Oh, dear. Give the Lord a hand of praise. This is what he said. It takes human effort. It takes character, takes human effort. God isn't going to do it for you. He's not going to do it for me. I have to work on my character. We had a chat in Life Changers yesterday about men and about a man's natural propensity to have sex with virtually anything that even looks remotely female. If he's like, you know, exactly. Oh dear. And, you know, this debate arose as to, like, whether Joseph was actually tempted to sleep with Potiphar's wife. Come on. I mean, you know, like, 5 minutes with a man and you know the score, right? Thanks, Linda, that's right. Linda says it's so. Because it's in the natural thing. What have you got to work on against that is the development of your character. Joseph said, he said, I couldn't sin against God and against Potiphar by doing this thing. And the law, you see, the Bible says that the law was, that sin was introduced by the law. It says, for where there is no law, there's no transgression. So it couldn't have been the law of Moses that stopped Joseph from calling that thing a sin. What was it? It didn't fit his vision of the future. It didn't fit his destiny for the future. It was his something in his character said no. Something in his character said no. This is not right. It's not right. There's a way to live. See, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. So he's actually he's putting the brakes on us for our life. If we develop our character the way that God has called us to develop it, praise his holy name. So that's number two, that's character. Number three, develop your anointing. Develop your anointing. Number one, faith. Number two, character. Number three, anointing. Now, here's something interesting. Your anointing is a gift from God. It's a gift from who?
God.
How do you know if you're anointed? How can you tell? I didn't know I was anointed to heal the sick. First guy I prayed for died. He was given 2 weeks to live. This is a true story. Down in, what's that big white, is it? St. Thomas's Hospital down London Bridge side, is it? St. Thomas's, the big white building. Yeah, up on the 9th, 10th floor of St. Thomas's, there was a HIV ward. And the guy was given, what was he given? He was given 2 weeks to live. So I went down there with my anointed self, laid hands on him. He was dead in 5 days. Imagine. 2 weeks to live and I killed him in 5 days. Or my faith... Do you understand? Mighty man of God. Hallelujah. Anyone want prayer for this? No, I'm kidding. You understand? But how did I know? Let me tell you how. Something on the inside. Something on the inside said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, all I needed was a bit of practice. Thank God there's millions of sick people that you can practice on. Millions. Millions. Even in any place that you go preach or anything like that, there's millions of sick people there. What do you got to develop? You've got to develop your anointing. It's that thing on the inside of you that says, I love my wife's ministry. I really do. I love it. I sit under it. I receive from it. Hurt and pain can't hang around me long. In fact, Joey and I, we're writing a book together. It's called The ABCs of Ministry, The Accusations, The Betrayals, and The Confusions of Ministry. Because ministry, dude, it's a world of heart, hurt and heart. I mean, you may as well just expose your back and let everyone with a bow and arrow just come and take a shot at you, because that's what it's like. Katung, people don't understand. They'll judge you. Oh, my goodness me. So, because they only know half the story. You understand? And some of them don't even know half the story. They just see... Imagine if we did that. Imagine if we did that to plumbers. You know, you tell somebody you work in a church, you're a pastor of a church. Oh, pastors, I hate pastors. Oh, they're all pastors. And like you give them like 10 yards to go and give their little soliloquy on why pastors are such awful people, right? So imagine we did that to plumbers. So what do you do? I'm a plumber. Oh, plumbers. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. You understand? Or Transport for London. Oh, Bob Crowe and all his, he's always on strike. You understand? But people think that they can just judge people freely. And that's part of the thing of ministry. And you know, that thing can't hang around me long at all when I'm around my wife. Even standing near her sometimes, she just has. She carries that grace to the glory of God. She weren't like that when I met her. But what did she do? She practiced on her anointing. She practiced it. Paolo, I think God's calling me to heal wounded people. You know, when our little child died, our first child, aged 2 years old, she said, and I'd forgotten this, Scott Chapman reminded of us last week. She said, I devote my life to healing people's wounds from now on. What a vow. God heard from heaven, right? How many of you, God's used my wife to heal you in some way or another? Can you clap for her, please? Praise God. Praise God Almighty. What's that? It's your anointing. There's an area of speciality on the inside of you that God has gifted and graced. And when you find it, flow in it. Practice it, move in it, develop it. Don't give up on it. The Bible says Elijah was a man just like us with like passions, but he prayed and the sky withheld its rain 3.5 years. You see, they don't need flood barriers down in Raysbury and Datchet. They need Elijah. One guy living on Walton-on-Thames like that, he can just speak to the wind and the waves and you've got the problem solved. And they'll pay how much? Like £50 billion or something like that, they're estimating, to make Britain flood-proof. Just ask God to raise up an Elijah. So if you see your little child standing on the balcony of your house and he's speaking to the wind and the rains all the time, don't stop him. All you need is one dude like that to get results. Job done. Amen. What's that? That's an anointing. Now, here's an interesting scripture, right? Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 13. I want to show you something about the anointing of God. Because as you develop your anointing, you're going to try and live off it yourself, and you can't. Your anointing is for other people. Your faith is for yourself. That's how I've seen faith. I've seen healing evangelists cancel meetings because they themselves were sick. Work that one out. How can a healing evangelist, a guy who's supposed to bring healing, that will bring confusion. You've got a healing evangelist, he's coming out to pray for the sick, but he's cancelled the meeting because he himself is sick. But it's possible. Look at the life of Elisha. I mean, how many of you, you'd want, if you were sick, you'd want Elisha to pray for you? The son of Elijah, double portion of the ministry, double portion of the anointing. And look what it says in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14. It says, when Elisha became sick with the illness of which he was to die, then Joash the king came to visit him, right? Now, in verse 21, look what happened. Now, in verse 20, Elisha dies. Sorry, go back to 20. And Elisha died, and they buried him. Now the bands of the Moabites would invade the land in the spring of the year. As they were burying a man, behold, they saw a marauding band. They cast the man into the grave of Elisha. When the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. So here's Elisha, sick and ready to die. But he's still, even his bones were anointed to heal. So that anointing didn't do Elisha any good. He's dead. But the anointing on him was sufficient to raise a guy from the dead. Such was the anointing. You see, the anointing's not for us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. All those scriptures that you'll find in Isaiah 61 where it describes what the anointing of God is like on a person's life, they're all for other people. Jesus said it himself, physician, heal thyself. You can't do it. You ever see a GP try and write his own prescription? It's not good. Unless they're a drug addict, it's not good. That's the only time a GP will write the correct prescription for himself. Why? You need somebody else to look at you. Do you understand? Because it's exactly like that. They're anointed for medicine. We anointed our first constable, our first police constable here, when he got his warrant card from Hendon. He'd finished the training and they gave him, you know, the warrant card is your license to knock down doors and shoot people and all kinds of stuff like that. It's cool, you know. But when he first got his warrant card, he didn't even come home. He came here to the LTC And I laid hands on him and I anointed that warrant card in Jesus' name for righteous policing in this land. That's the answer to police corruption, is the anointing. But one of the things I asked God to do, I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, if somebody's carrying weapons, open his eyes so that he can even see the weapon and even which pocket it's in. If somebody's carrying drugs, Lord, that he can even pick which pocket it is. And stop all this stuff, all this murder on the streets of our cities. That's how to bring it to an end. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, develop your anointing. Develop your character. Develop your faith. In the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet. We're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, it's in that secret place where we wait upon you that we become impregnated with our faith, where our faith comes alive in your presence, Lord God. Your word says all things are possible to him who believes. Father, make our faith come alive, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice right now, that, Lord, your hand will be upon them for great exploits. By faith, the men of old obtained a testimony. By faith, they achieved exploits. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Thank you, Lord God, that strength and exploits come from knowing you more. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that we'll get from carnal levels into deep spiritual levels, Father. From carnality into spirituality, Lord God. Where the air is fresh, where we can be who you have called us and appointed us and anointed us to be, Heavenly Father. That we wouldn't be like Bomber the Eagle. We wouldn't crash and burn at the first opportunity. But we develop our faith now, Heavenly Father, for those great exploits. We develop ourselves, Heavenly Father, in the area of our character, where we learn what's great. We learn what pleases you, Heavenly Father, that we may know what pleases the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord God, we pray for our character right now. Give us people, Lord God, give us inspirational messages. Give us brothers and sisters who will work on our character, Lord God, where it needs, that we wouldn't have deaf ears, Lord God, that we wouldn't have blind eyes, that we wouldn't have hardened hearts, that we'd have understanding hearts, seeing eyes, and hearing ears, that we may turn to you and be healed, Father, that we may be what you've called us to be, that we wouldn't be like Bomber the Eagle in the realm of the Spirit, Lord God, but that we'd be like true eagles, Heavenly Father, that fly, that run and not grow weary, that walk and not grow faint. Even though young people, Lord God, might lose their way and become tired, yet those who wait upon you, they shall renew their strength. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that whisper of your anointing on our lives, Father, that we may hear and understand it. Those of us that have been called to be evangelists, Lord God, called to share the gospel, that we would never let that oil run dry. Those of us who have been called into the prophetic and the intercessory, that we'd never let that well run dry in the name of Jesus. That an anointing would always flow, Heavenly Father, the way the oil flowed from Aaron, Lord God, from his head, from his beard to the hem of his garment, like the sweet oil, like the sweet balm of Gilead, Lord God, that your anointing would flow on us, Heavenly Father, that you take us from strength to strength and from faith to faith and from glory to glory, that we would rise, Lord God, that when we flap our wings, we wouldn't be like pigeons or turkeys, but that we'd be like proper eagles in Jesus' mighty name, able to reach heights, Heavenly Father, able to see from afar, able to fly with those wings that you've given us. We give you the glory, we give you the praise and the honor for it, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said,